Hello, this is Melissa Rowe and Melina Bagnato.
Welcome back.
And we're coming to you with The Village. And today we have the absolute pleasure of a guest joining us for an interview. And her name is Shezi Denya. Welcome, Shezi.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Shezi is a mum and a wife and also a TV producer. And Shezi, can you tell us a little bit about your family, your kids and your work?
Sure. I have two daughters. Sayla is seven and a half, and Scout has just turned three. We live on a farm on the outskirts of Bathurst in regional New South Wales. We've got some cows and a little dog called Princess Popcorn and a very naughty husband who's been scaring me a lot lately, but he kind of travels between Sydney and Bathurst a lot. So I spend the majority of my time on my own with my raising my girls. Yeah.
Amazing. Wow. So
That alone is just amazing. Like that, because, you know, a lot of mums that would be listening to this could probably will be nodding their head going, oh, my God, that's me.
Yeah.
My husband travels all the time.
Yeah.
So we can't wait to explore and get to know you a bit better today.
Great.
So tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing and juggling with your motherhood at the moment, Shezi.
Where do I start? I don't even know where to start. At the moment I'm managing my husband.
Mm-hmm.
So I field, you know, all his calls. I reply to all his fan mail. On top of that, I'm also talking to each of the networks that he works with, TV and radio. Everything goes through me. So to speak. So I, you know, tell him what to do from sun up till sundown.
Lots of different angles.
Everyone would love to do that.
And as well as that, I am the founder and creator of Mummy Time TV, which is a YouTube series where it's an online kind of mums group.
Love that.
And that, you know, we're really only a year and a bit into that, and the response has been phenomenal. I also do producing, TV producing through Denya Entertainment, which is my husband and my company.
Mm-hmm.
Plus I also do researching and producing for Channel 10 and for Today FM, you know, where necessary. So I'm kind of all over the place. Spread.
Wow,
very
you wear
thin.
So many hats.
I do. I do.
My goodness.
So what you're going to say is you've got a lot of time in your hands.
I don't know fit it all in, but I do know that my kids, you know, tell me often, Mum, you know, you need to come and spend some time at school doing reading, or, you know, you need to do this. And I get that real mum guilt. So, I mean, everybody gets it, but
absolutely.
The juggle's hard.
The juggle is real.
So, I'm listening to you and I'm sitting here and I live a pretty full life myself. I'm listening going, wow. How do you do it? Are you super organized?
No.
Is that the trick, or you're organized chaos?
I'm organized chaos. Yeah. Organized chaos. I drive 20 minutes into town each day to drop my daughter into school and 20 minutes back home. But I probably spend 3.5 hours in the car a day. So I do conference calls. I, you know, do all my important calls in the car. I do all my work pretty much from my iPhone. I'm constantly on my phone. And I just, you know, as something pops up, I just try and deal with it. But I'm pretty, pretty relaxed. I wasn't always that way. Mm-hmm. I used to be a lot more uptight, but
It's so interesting, you know. I know I've got so many questions milling around my head as well. Too, yeah. But you know, just what you touched on, we probably are the most privileged generation of mums, I guess, in terms of flexibility for work.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And for me, it's a blessing and a curse because, you know, I was talking to someone about this the other day around that when you do have it at your fingertips and you've got your phone and you know, you can do Skyping and video link and all of those things, it's amazing because you're home, but it also means that you can't switch off. Do you find that?
Yeah, I do. When we first moved to our farm 4 years ago, we had no internet. And in fact, we had no internet up until November last year.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so I started writing a blog at the beginning of last year, and I used to have to come into town and write it from the local library, which was just so strange. But I think I really I kind of view it differently now, you know, like we put our phones down when we go to bed and we watch Netflix because, you know, I've only just discovered Netflix because I've been living in the dark ages, but we put our phones down and, you know, or I put my phone down and I try and have that time out. But, you know, some days I'm on my phone so much that my battery will go flat, you know, 3 or 4 times, which it's really bad for you.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So it is, but I suppose, you know, you, like Mel said, you're wearing so many different hats.
Yeah.
And, you know, you also mum doing the drop-offs and pick-ups.
Yeah.
You know, you say that you're organised chaos, but do you, I'm just trying to get some really clear understanding and great for our listeners as well. Do you write lists or is it all in your head? How do you smash it out?
You want to know a secret.
I don't have a secret. You know, I don't have a secret. I look like a crazed woman most of the time running around with my gym clothes and my hair unbrushed at the back and people just kind of know me. And I think, you know, say for instance, like my daughter has to go to ballet, and I'm late turning up, and I've forgotten her shoes. There's always people there who go, "Oh, okay, yeah, no worries. Here, she can borrow these shoes." I'm so grateful to have like beautiful country people around me who just must look at me and think she's a crazed maniac.
You've got the village.
You've got the village
around you that are picking up. You know,
absolutely.
Where we drop the ball. I love that.
Yeah.
What a contrast, though. You think about your day. It's so CBD, so metro, so full on.
Yeah.
You live on a farm.
Yeah, man. I know.
Like, I love that.
Beautiful balance.
It is a beautiful balance. And, you know, and that's been really restorative for us because when my husband and I, when we first had our daughter, Sailor, we lived on the 34th floor of an apartment building in Chinatown in Sydney.
Wow.
And there were sirens, there was fire engines, you know, just constantly through the night. There was karaoke because we lived in a house full of Chinese people and they love karaoke. We lived in an apartment building full of Chinese people. They weren't in my house.
Yeah.
but it was just, you could never turn off. And and coming out here, the pace is so different and the expectations are just so gentle. And it's been really great for us.
Yeah, how beautiful.
Yeah.
Have you got a question?
I've got so many questions. Put your seatbelt on, lady.
She's sitting here like a little dog waiting.
Okay,
I'm getting out of the way.
You should see me. I've got my baby on my boob.
Yeah.
You've got a massive shark and I'm just like doing, it's like the most, I'm just so excited to be talking. I'm like, dude, just chill out for a minute, baby. now, the reason why I think I'm so excited is I can really relate to how much you've got on your plate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you make it look easy. And I suppose, you know, I'm looking at you and your story and, you know, Grant and yourself and the way you guys have fun. But then you say how much you do. I'm just like, I know I find it really hard to switch off. I love what I do and I'm addicted to what I do. I'm, you know, with my online store and styling women and motivating them that at night I could, you know, read a book if I wanted to, but I choose to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you find you do? Like you say you put your phone down.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're like this. I'll be like, I'm just going to research that. I'm just going to send that message. I'm just going to make that note. And I think if I don't have my phone next to me, then tomorrow morning, because I'm organized chaos too, it's not going to happen. So do you, if you say you put your phone down, do you write, do you have a note pen? Like, how do you remember all that stuff? Or can you switch off? And if you can, how do you do it?
I'm trying. It's a constant thing I have to work on. My brain does, you know, tick over a lot. I'm not good at writing lists. I just think about stuff and think about them, and then, you know, I want to act on them. But I guess having Grant on breakfast radio, when he is home, we go to bed really early. So we'll put the kids into bed, you know, do homework, and then 7:30, you know, we're watching an hour of a show before we, you know, go to sleep.
Go to bed.
Yeah. Mm. And I find that I always try and watch an hour of a show or a series, because I'm not, if I started reading books, I would always then want to keep working.
Yeah, mind gets busy.
Yeah, and it does. Yeah. And I just find that just watching, like, you know, and I'm watching Lucifer at the moment on my own, which is, you know, it's hilarious, but it just helps me switch off a bit. But but it is a constant work in progress, and I'm, you know.
I suppose Netflix has become the new age meditation.
Well, kind of, I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of,
So, Shezzy, I'm not a huge fan of the word balance for mothers, because I feel like it's just a never-ending chase to find the balance. And I just think we just tilt into, you know, what we're doing at the time. So whether it's, you know, you're flat out working, you tilt into that, and whether it's rest, then really tilt into that. So what do you do for self-care so that you can kind of sustain yourself?
Well, look, I'd like to say exercise. But in the last couple of weeks with the I've been really busy doing a lot of charity stuff on top of, you know, my usual hectic schedule. And as I felt myself feeling quite depleted, you know, I went for a 6-kilometer walk, and that helped to clear my head. The other thing I've really started to love doing, which I stopped doing for a while, is hanging out with my girlfriends. And it's really difficult to get everyone together, but I've been trying really, really hard to make that happen. And I just find that is good for the soul. Like having a really good belly laugh is really, really important for me.
Absolutely.
I think also too, I often have to go to Sydney. And that means, like, my mum, God bless her, she lives in Bathurst. So she often, she steps in to help me look after the kids, help me pick up the kids or drop them off, because I don't have a nanny, like I do it all, you know, myself. And having that little bit of time away, I really try to cherish, so that, you know, when I'm back with my kids, I can really enjoy them.
Recharge the batteries.
It's so important.
I do think that is really, really important. It's something that I you know, never used to do.
And because oftentimes, and I know when the kids are little, you can feel really guilty for doing that.
Yes.
And then, you know, you just put it off and you just don't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. When I had Sailor, and I for about 8.5 months, I knew something wasn't quite right after I had her, because I was really, really, I'd be normal, and then all of a sudden, or my, you know, even tempered kind of handling everything normal, and then all of a sudden something would trigger this mass panic attack. And say, for instance, you know, I took her for a walk one day down at Chinatown, and a man was smoking out the front of my building, and I felt this overriding sense of rage. I just wanted to gouge his eyes out. How dare he smoke around my baby?
Wow.
Like, he will kill my child. It was so irrational. I ended up walking 4 blocks, to get back to my building, crying, sobbing the whole way around. So I knew that something wasn't quite right. And I kept going to my doctor, and the doctor kept, you know, doing the tests for postnatal depression. It wasn't postnatal depression. And after 8.5 months, without spending one day apart from my child, like,
wow,
or 1 hour, like I had nobody ever looked after my baby. I did the whole time. I had a bit of a mini breakdown, which is when I, you know, handed the baby to my husband and said, I can't do this anymore. I don't have the mum gene. I'm so angry. I'm so upset. I can't do it. And all these kind of emotions came flooding out, and I went with him to the doctor, and they diagnosed me with postnatal anxiety. And that was kind of, you know, the start of that journey. But up until that point, I had not spent any time away from my baby.
And why was that, do you think, in hindsight?
Well, I was breastfeeding. I was struggling breastfeeding. Struggling with breastfeeding, and had mastitis 12 times because she was not latching on properly, and I just kept kind of, you know, forcing myself to you know, keep feeding. So I think that was kind of the excuse in my head. Plus I just didn't think that, you know, that anybody else could help, or I was so kind of caught up in myself. And then looking back now, I look back on that time in hindsight, and I feel quite sad because my husband went back to work on the road with Sunrise when Sailor was 3 weeks old, I think. And, and I felt really, I felt really alone and really lost. And so I decided I'll go back on the road with Sunrise. Because that's my, you know, family. I'd travelled on the road for 4 years, and, you know, let's go back to work straight away, and let's take, you know, Sailor on the road, and which I did. And, you know, in her first year, she had nearly 100 flights, because that was my way of trying to get back to, you know, feeling normal.
And looking back, did you feel that helped?
I think I was just in some kind of postnatal blur, because I look back now and I think, how the hell did I do that?
That was my question. I was just sitting here with my mouth gaping open.
Like, how the hell? Yeah, because we do, you know, we were doing different cities, different states every day. You know, you're away and traveling for 6 days a week.
I don't feel shocked by that, only because... Really? I think maybe because I'm a bit like that.
Yeah.
You've seen me with Ethan. I don't, and this is why I'm asking, do you look back and go, that's how I dealt with it, or do you regret doing that? Because I can't stay home. That's just me. I get more depressed staying home with a newborn. I feel sort of worthless and just like not stimulated. Whereas I find getting out of the house and traveling or bringing my baby to work, I feel like I'm capable of both in that moment. And then I crash at night when I get home.
Yeah.
Looking back, do you regret doing that, or you're like, yep, that's what sort of helped me get through?
Look, I try not to regret anything. I do look back on that period with a bit of sadness because I, for a number of reasons, not just because I went back on the road. I mean, that was my way to cope at that time. But I look back and I had a really, really traumatic birth that didn't go to plan at all, and I did not want a cesarean. No one in my family, none of my friends had ever had cesareans. I wanted a natural birth, and that was, you know, I was so hell-bent on getting that. But I didn't dilate, and I was on the oxytocin drip, and she'd turned around. She was Frank Breech. She had her feet in her mouth, and her shoulder got stuck. And it was just, it went on for days, and then they found that she was in distress. So they said, you know, we have to take him for cesarean. And I, at that point, I had disassociation because the fear, and I guess also I was so exhausted, and I was trying my hardest not to, you know, to have a cesarean, and everything felt like it was failing. And they dosed me up on a lot of Valium, and I had that disassociation where I saw myself from, you know, from up on the roof of the operating theatre.
Yeah.
That I kind of never really told anybody that for a little while. And I feel sad when I look back at that period and think I should have told people. You know, I thought that it must have just been the drugs that made me feel really quite high and distant. And so when they pulled my daughter out, all I, you know, because my husband filmed it, all I kept saying was, that's not my baby. that's not my baby. Like, and I was watching it from the roof, which, you know, that.
Yeah, like an out-of-body
experience. Like a total out-of-body experience. And, you know, that makes me sad. But, I mean, everything that happened after that, including going back on the road with Sunrise, makes sense knowing the diagnosis now.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, there are so many things, and I'm just thinking about maybe young women listening to this and young mums listening to this, that it's very hard as a young woman going into that time, or a woman going into that time, not to have some preconceived idea or romanticization of what it's going to be like and what you want it to be like. And yes, we're empowered in birth, but there are some times and some things happen that mean that it's just so different to what we dream about.
Yeah, absolutely. And that I had a great birth plan, you know. Yeah. I had been arranging crews of, you know, 15 people to get around the countryside, you know, as my job, plus producing. I was doing about six. I worked at Sunrise. And so, you know, if there was anyone who could control a birth, a labour, it was me.
It was
Yeah.
Where's those tick boxes?
Exactly. Yeah. And everything went, you know, went terribly wrong, or it was different. And it, when I was being wheeled back to from recovery to my room, the catheter bag dropped off the bed and actually tore my urethra. And I had to have some rehabilitation to be able to urinate. Like, it, so not only did I have the problem, you know, the pain and stitches from the cesarean, which were a constant reminder to me at that time that I felt like I failed. I had a baby that I hadn't held because I'd been in recovery for so long. So I didn't get the first, you know, bonding kind of that other mums had. Plus also I had, you know, the torn urethra. And then when I got back, I had all these people in the room because they were all waiting. You know, 3 days ago it was on Sunrise that I'd gone in to, you know, have a baby.
Just to add the extra pressure.
Yeah. And so I had to put on this front, you know, from then, you know, that everything was fine. And and my advice to the young moms now is don't plan for it, you know. No. Just don't expect anything. Just, you know, let it just unfold. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so if you don't mind me asking, fast forwarding now after that experience, you know, you're at the 8-month period when, you know, you said to Grant, I can't do this.
Yeah.
How have you managed to work through that? And how long did you feel that this postnatal lasted for?
It took a number of different sessions with different professionals to really find the right person for me. So the 8.5 month mark, I had a mini breakdown, and that's what I call it. I'd just totally stopped breastfeeding. I was engorged. As I said, I'd had mastitis for the 12th time, and the doctor said, you need to stop. So I had a temperature. I was hot. I had this overriding sense of guilt, you know, that I couldn't breastfeed my child. I wanted to breastfeed her, you know, till she was 1.5 years. And so it just kind of all culminated in this big explosion. You know, that first person that I saw after my husband helped me articulate the feelings that I was having really changed my life. I just remember she just said, you know what, you have postnatal anxiety. It's very common and it is totally treatable, and you will recover and have a normal, you know, healthy relationship with your child. Those words were, like, I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about it. They just totally made me feel at ease.
Yes.
And they then, I was open to anything that would help, you know, once I had that diagnosis. So then I had to find the right, I had hope, exactly. I had to find the right kind of counsellor, and I ended up seeing a female counsellor who didn't have any children of her own, surprisingly. But I just found we really connected. And she gave me really great feedback on what I was thinking. And I saw her twice a week for about a year.
Wow.
and she did CBT with me.
CBT is cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah, and she just let me talk, and that was something that I hadn't done. I hadn't shown anyone. I'd been so so stoic, so strong all the time.
Where do we get that from? You know, like just not being, not as new mums having the ability to really say as it is.
Allowing ourselves to.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I think mine was really probably exaggerated because I'd nursed my husband a few years earlier after he'd broke his back. And and I was, you know, at that time I would have to carry him, you know, to the bathroom. Mm. Like I had to be the strong one. So I think that
you just carried it through.
To a fault. So,
Mel, with your experience, you know, working with mums, especially mums with postnatal depression, do you agree or disagree? I'm just trying to get it around in my head that women that are, and I'm saying this because I experience a bit of postnatal too, Shezi, and I'm only can relate it to my experience when I say this, and even hearing your story, it's sort of making more sense. Is it possible to get the words out that women that have got, say, past traumatic issues or issues that are not resolved going into new motherhood with expectations and plans, and they don't go to plan, it's like an avalanche of all the past stuff that hasn't been dealt with?
I think that, you know, when we have babies, we're at our most vulnerable, and whether that is, you know, the birth itself, it's cesarean, whether it's, you know, going home and being sleep deprived and sitting in your house feeling isolated and having lack of support, you're really at your most vulnerable. And in those times in our life, and I actually believe that menopause is one of those times as well, that you are vulnerable, and then there can be the bubble up of, you know, past trauma or things that have happened before.
That definitely happened to me.
I'm seeing a link, Shezi. I'm seeing a lot of this at the moment with a lot of women, you know, in the line of work I'm in, the line of work Mel's in, and listening to women like yourself and our stories, there seems to be that correlation of past issues that are not resolved, and it just sort of explodes once.
And let's face it, we all have it.
Yeah.
You know,
one
way or another, we've got something, whether it was, you know, childhood trauma or trauma in our teens or whatever it is. We have difficult and most times unresolved experiences that are kind of just under the surface.
Yeah. I think I was very good at, I say pretending, but to me it was just kind of surviving. You know, I was trained to be a journalist, and I think I said to you off air, I was a terrible journalist. So I would take, I was so empathetic that I ended up doing, you know, eulogies for you know, people I never met, because I covered the story and I just felt so attached to their family and so sorry for them. And and when everything happened, you know, with me and my daughter, I had all these things bubble up that I didn't even know had affected me, you know, and it wasn't until I did some really serious counselling that I realised that there was a lot of things, including, you know, I was the first to an accident where a newborn baby had been thrown from the car.
Oh, wow.
As a journalist, and seeing that, I'd seen deceased, you know, people before, but this was a brand new baby. And I was 18, 19. And that stayed with me and just kind of was buried deep down. But, you know, even if you would have asked me, like, is everything okay? And I was telling you, yeah, I'm great. And you would be thinking everything was great. Deep down, I just had this layer after layer of certain traumas. And then after I had my daughter, I was just totally vulnerable. They just all came bubbling up, and, you know, and it was so unexpected for me, and I just didn't know how to handle it. And I was scared.
So what did you learn to manage your postnatal anxiety? What were some of the things that really assisted you and supported you throughout that time?
Talking.
Yes.
That was the number one thing. I realized that I was very guarded around my feelings, and also I was quite selective with what I spoke about. And after doing the counseling, I just talk and talk and talk. Yeah. And I encourage other people as well. You know, I wished that I would have spent longer in each of the doctor's appointments that I went to when I was saying something's not quite right. Yes. You know, I knew something wasn't quite right, but.
You know when something you're off, it's a bit like, well, I think I'm getting a cold.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you're like, well, they're not my thoughts. I don't usually feel that way. That's you the know. Only way I sort of can relate to it even now.
Yeah. But I think I didn't really want them to find out what it was, though, because I didn't know and I was really scared that I was going crazy. So talking, definitely. Laughing. I just now, if I start to get a little bit anxious, it doesn't happen all the time. But if I have a lot on and I'm running late, or you know, something happens really unexpected that will make me really late, I have to really talk myself into being calm.
So that kind of coaching yourself through what's happening.
Really, yeah, just watching myself talk. I try to laugh. Think about something that's really, really funny, because I just find that laughing is the total opposite to, you know, feeling that tense, stuck, kind of tight feeling.
Yeah.
To have a really big hearty laugh. And that's what it's kind of what I tried to do with a lot of the skits for Mummy Time TV, just because I felt that laughing was the best remedy.
And with your scares.
Well, that's laughing for my husband, not so much for me. But I will be laughing when I get him back.
Are you plotting the next move?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, but I've had a couple of goes and I haven't had any success. So I'm hoping that the radio station can help me really get it.
It's hard to do.
I hate that. When you really want to get someone back.
I know.
And they either just, it's like when you try to tickle someone and they say they're not ticklish.
Yes.
You get so disappointed. So I can imagine when you're trying to get, you know, back.
Yeah.
Oh, so frustrating. But I'm just going to wait until it settles down. Like I'm a Scorpio. Yes. So I can wait for a lifetime. And I'll get him when he leaves.
I've got a daughter who's a Scorpio.
Right, okay. Yes, we can hold a grudge.
Yep.
I've got three questions for you. Okay. Just really quick and short ones, okay?
Yep.
First one. What do you do for self-care? What does Shezzy do for herself, either daily or weekly, to know that she's just done something for herself amongst all that organized chaos?
What do I do for myself?
Self-care or love?
I like to sit out the back of our house. We've got a beautiful view each afternoon. It doesn't happen every afternoon, but I like to do that and give myself three things that I've done throughout the day that I'm really happy with or things that I'm grateful for.
A bit of gratitude.
Yeah. Love gratitude, yeah.
That's a great one. All right, number two, do you ever say no to anything or anyone if it doesn't suit you?
Only recently. In the past year, I have said no a lot and it felt great. But before that, I was always, yes, if you asked me anything, I could never say no.
Yeah. People pleasing.
Totally people
pleasing.
We're
pretty good at doing that as women.
Yeah.
So now you're saying no without feeling guilty?
I say no and I give my reasons and then I leave it there. Good. And I get asked things all the time that I have to say no to, especially, you know, being Grant's manager because he just can't do everything. So I have I try to leave the feelings there and know that I've done my best.
Thank you for saying yes to us.
That's okay.
And my third question,
yeah,
really important question. Can you hear my sarcasm?
Yeah, I can. I'm waiting.
You've only just discovered Netflix. What are you watching?
Well, I'm watching Lucifer and Animal Kingdom. But my favorite show is Ozark, or however you pronounce it. I love it.
So good.
Yeah.
Ozark's so good.
So good.
I don't watch Netflix, so I'm totally out of the loop.
That's okay. But you know, so many people do. And it's become almost a bit like, you know, when you need to talk about sharing, like, what are you wearing Saturday night?
Yeah.
It's become, I find 30 plus, what do you watch on Netflix?
Yes.
Oh my God, I love that one.
Yes, what absolutely. Yeah, I love it.
So I just wanted to know because I just, the three things that I always, I'm curious yeah. if that yeah. when I'm talking to women, yeah. how they look after themselves. Do they say no? Because it's a really hard thing that we,
absolutely.
You know,
I used
we
to
struggle to do.
I used to get really resentful. Like I used to yes. constantly say yes. And then yes. I'd be beating myself up and feeling mm-hmm. like a real failure and trying to then work out how to get out of things. And I, yeah, it takes a lot of courage to start saying no, but it's the most important tool almost you'll ever learn. Well, for people pleaser like me.
And you know, we're most women are conditioned to take care of others and, yeah. and be a good girl and a nice girl and, yes, you know, all absolutely. Of those things. So we have to break free of that. And my greatest teacher is my husband in that regard, because yes. he is like, just say no.
Yeah.
I don't actually understand why you...
Were you beating yourself up about it?
What are you doing? They just do it so easily. It's amazing.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Oh, except for my husband. He's like, can you tell them I said no?
So you've had plenty of practice at it.
Yeah.
Saying no for both of you.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Oh, Shezzy, it's been an absolute pleasure to interview you today, and we're so ever grateful that you said yes to us.
Of course.
And yeah.
I'm a big, big fan of the work that you guys are doing. Just, you know, bringing mums together and sharing mum stories is so important. You so both important. Do it so well. So keep on keeping on.
Thank you so much
for your support.
We also think it's just so important, you know, to talk about the unspoken.
Yes, absolutely.
And laugh about it too.
And laugh about it and just normalize it and yeah. just know that we all have those feelings yeah. and suffer from, you know, most mm-hmm. of us either some anxiety or, yeah. or depression yeah. along the way.
And get back into that village mode, you know, connecting and supporting us. So thank you very much, Shezzy. And
absolutely.
We can't wait to see your payback.
Yes.
I know. I'll keep you posted. And I'll have to get you both on the next round of Mummy Time TV.
Oh,
that'd be great.
We would absolutely love that.
Well, you enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy your cover tonight, this afternoon.
Yes.
We're outside.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Take care. See ya.
Bye.